best in the universe. And this is that which makes use of all things and directs all things. And in like manner, also reverence that which is best in thyself, and this is of the same kind as that. For in thyself also, that which makes use of everything else is this, and thy life is directed by this. That which does no harm to the state does no harm to the citizen. In the case of every appearance of harm, apply this rule. If the state is not harmed by this, neither am I harmed. But if the state is harmed, thou must not be angry with him who does harm to the state. Show him where his error is. Often think of the rapidity with which things pass by and disappear, both the things which are and the things which are produced. For substance is like a river in a continual flow, and the activities of things are in constant change, and the causes work in infinite varieties, and there is hardly anything which stands still. And consider this which is near to thee, this boundless abyss of the past and of the future, in which all things disappear. How then is he not a fool who is puffed up with such things, or plagued about them, and makes himself miserable? For they vex him only for a time, and a short time. Think of the universal substance, of which thou hast a very small portion, and of universal time, of which a short and indivisible interval has been assigned to thee, and of that which is fixed by destiny, and how small a part of it thou art. Does another do me wrong? Let him look to it. He has his own disposition, his own activity. I now have what the universal nature now wills me to have, and I do what my nature now wills me to do. Let the part of my soul which leads and governs be undisturbed by the movements in the flesh, whether of pleasure or of pain, and let it not unite with them, but let it circumscribe itself and limit those effects to their parts. But when these effects rise up to the mind by virtue of that other sympathy that naturally exists in a body, which is all one, then thou must not strive to resist the sensation, for it is natural. But let not the ruling part of itself add to the sensation the opinion that it is either good or bad. Live with the gods. And he does live with the gods who constantly shows to them that his own soul is satisfied with that which is assigned to him, and that it does all the demon wishes which Zeus hath given to every man for his guardian and guide, a portion of himself. And this is every man's understanding and reason. Art thou angry with him whose armpits stink? Art thou angry with him whose mouth smells foul? What good will this anger do thee? He has such a mouth, he has such armpits. It is necessary that such an emanation must come from such things. But the man has reason, it will be said, and he is able, if he takes pains, to discover wherein he offends. I wish thee well of thy discovery. Well then, and thou hast reason, by thy rational faculty, stir up his rational faculty. Show him his error, admonish him, for if he listens, thou wilt cure him, and there is no need of anger. As thou intendest to live, when them art gone out, so it is in thy power to live here. But if men do not permit thee, then get away out of life, yet so as if thou wert suffering no harm. The house is smoky, and I quit it. Why dost thou think that this is any trouble? But so long as nothing of the kind drives me out, I remain, I am free, and no man shall hinder me from doing what I choose. And I choose to do what is according to the nature of the rational and social animal. The intelligence of the universe is social. Accordingly, it has made the inferior things for the sake of the superior, and it has fitted the superior to one another. Thou seest how it has subordinated, coordinated, and assigned to everything its proper portion, and has brought together into concord with one another the things which are the best. How hast thou behaved hitherto to the gods, thy parents, brethren, children, teachers, to those who looked after thy infancy, to thy friends, kinsfolk, to thy slaves? Consider if thou hast hitherto behaved to all in such a way that this may be said of thee, never has wronged a man in deed or word. And call to recollection both how many things thou hast passed through, and how many things thou hast been able to endure, and that the history of thy life is now complete, and thy service is ended, and how many beautiful things thou hast seen, and how many pleasures and pains thou hast despised, and how many things called honorable thou hast spurned, and to how many ill-minded folks thou hast shown a kind disposition. Why do unskilled and ignorant souls disturb him who has skill and knowledge? What soul then has skill and knowledge? That which knows beginning and end, and knows the reason which pervades all substance, and through all time by fixed periods, revolutions, administers the universe. Soon, very soon, thou wilt be ashes, or a skeleton, and either a name, or not even a name. But name is sound and echo, and the things which are much valued in life are empty, and rotten, and trifling, and like little dogs biting one another, and little children quarreling, laughing, and then straightway weeping. But fidelity, and modesty, and justice, and truth are fled up to Olympus from the widespread earth. What, then, is there which detains thee here, if the objects of sense are easily changed, and never stand still, and the organs of perception are dull, and easily receive false impressions, and the poor soul itself is an exhalation from blood? But to have good repute amid such a world as this is an empty thing. Why, then, dost thou not wait in tranquility for thy end, whether it is extinction or removal to another state? And until that time comes, what is sufficient? Why, what else then to venerate the gods and bless them, and to do good to men, and to practice tolerance and self-restraint, but as to everything which is beyond the limits of the poor flesh and breath, to remember that this is neither thine nor in thy power? Thou canst pass thy life in an equable flow of happiness, if thou canst go by the right way and think and act in the right way. These two things are common, both to the soul of God and to the soul of man, and to the soul of every rational being, not to be hindered by another, and to hold good to consist in the disposition to justice and the practice of it, and in this to let thy desire find its termination. If this is neither my own badness, nor an effect of my own badness, and the common weal is not injured, why am I troubled about it? And what is the harm to the common weal? Do not be carried along inconsiderately by the appearance of things, but give help to all, according to thy ability and their fitness, and if they should have sustained loss in matters which are indifferent, do not imagine this to be a damage, for it is a bad habit. But as the old man, when he went away, asked back his foster child's top, remembering that it was a top. So do thou in this case also. When thou art calling out on the rostra, hast thou forgotten, man, what these things are? Yes, but they are objects of great concern to these people. Wilt thou too then be made a fool for these things? I was once a fortunate man, but I lost it. I know not how, but fortunate means that a man has assigned to himself a good fortune, and a good fortune is good disposition of the soul, good emotions, good actions. Book 6. The substance of the universe is obedient and compliant, and the reason which governs it has in itself no cause for doing evil, for it has no malice, nor does it do evil to anything, nor is anything harmed by it. But all things are made and perfected according to this reason. Let it make no difference to thee, whether thou art cold or warm, if thou art doing thy duty, and whether thou art drowsy or satisfied with sleep, or whether ill-spoken of or praised, and whether dying or doing something else. For it is one of the acts of life. This act, by which we die, it is sufficient, then, in this act also, to do well what we have in hand. Look within. Let neither the peculiar quality of anything, nor its value, escape thee. All existing things soon change, and they will either be reduced to vapor, if indeed all substance is one, or they will be dispersed. The reason which governs knows what its own disposition is, and what it does, and on what material it works. The best way of avenging thyself is not to become like the wrongdoer. Take pleasure in one thing and rest in it, in passing from one social act to another social act, thinking of God. The ruling principle is that which rouses and turns itself, and while it makes itself such as it is, and such as it wills to be, it also makes everything which happens appear to itself to be such as it wills. In conformity to the nature of the universe, every single thing is accomplished. For certainly, it is not in conformity to any other nature that each thing is accomplished, either a nature which externally comprehends this, or a nature which is comprehended within this nature, or a nature external and independent of this. The universe is either a confusion and a mutual involution of things and a dispersion, or it is unity and order and providence. If then it is the former, why do I desire to tarry in a fortuitous combination of things and such a disorder? And why do I care about anything else than how I shall at last become earth? And why I am disturbed, for the dispersion of my elements will happen whatever I do. But if the other supposition is true, I venerate. And I am firm, and I trust in him who governs. When thou hast been compelled by circumstances to be disturbed in a manner, quickly return to thyself, and do not continue out of tune longer than the compulsion lasts. For thou wilt have more mastery over the harmony by continually recurring to it. If thou hadst a stepmother and a mother at the same time, thou wouldst be dutiful to thy stepmother, but still thou wouldst constantly return to thy mother. Let the court and philosophy now be to thee stepmother and mother. Return to philosophy frequently, and repose in her through whom what thou meetest with in the court appears to thee tolerable, and thou appearest tolerable in the court. When we have meat before us and such eatables, we receive the impression that this is the dead body of a fish, and this is the dead body of a bird or a pig, and again that this Falernian is only a little grape juice, and this purple robe some sheep's wool dyed with the blood of a shellfish. Such, then, are these impressions. And they reach the things themselves and penetrate them. And so we see what kind of things they are. Just in the same way, ought we to act all through life. And where there are things which appear most worthy of our approbation, we ought to lay them bare and look at their worthlessness and strip them of all the words by which they are exalted. For outward show is a wonderful perverter of the reason. And when thou art most sure that thou art employed about things, worth thy pains, it is then that it cheats thee most. Consider then what Crates says of Xenocrates himself. Most of the things which the multitude admire are referred to objects of the most general kind, those which are held together by cohesion or natural organization, such as stones, wood, fig trees, vines, olives. But those which are admired by men, who are a little more reasonable, are referred to the things which are held together by a living principle, as flocks, herds. Those which are admired by men, who are still more instructed, are the things which are held together by a rational soul. Not, however, a universal soul, but rational, so far as it is a soul skilled in some art, or expert in some other way, or simply rational so far as it possesses a number of slaves. But he who values a rational soul, a soul universal and fitted for political life, regards nothing else except this, and above all things, he keeps his soul in a condition and in an activity conformable to reason and social life, and he cooperates to this end with those who are of the same kind as himself. Some things are hurrying into existence, and others are hurrying out of it, and of that which is coming into the existence part is already extinguished. Motions and changes are continually renewing the world, just as the uninterrupted course of time is always renewing the infinite duration of ages. In this flowing stream, then, on which there is no abiding, what is there of the things which hurry by, on which a man would set a high price? It would be just as if a man should fall in love with one of the sparrows which fly by. But it has already passed out of sight. Something of this kind is the very life of every man, like the exhalation of the blood and the respiration of the air. For such as it is to have once drawn in the air and to have given it back, which we do every moment, just the same is it for the whole respiratory power, which thou didst receive at thy birth yesterday and the day before, to give it back to the element from which thou didst first draw it. Neither is transpiration, as in plants, a thing to be valued, nor respiration, as in domesticated animals, and wild beasts, nor the receiving of impressions by the appearances of things, nor being moved by desires, as puppets by strings, nor assembling in herds, nor being nourished by food. For this is just like the act of separating and parting with the useless part of our food. What, then, is worth being valued? To be received with clapping of hands? No, neither must we value the clapping of tongues, for the praise which comes from the many is a clapping of tongues. Suppose, then, that thou hast given up this worthless thing called fame. What remains? What is worth valuing? This, in my opinion, to move thyself and to restrain thyself in conformity to thy proper constitution, to which end both all employments and arts lead. For every art aims at this, that the thing which has been made should be adapted to the work for which it has been made. And both the vine planter, who looks after the vine, and the horse breaker, and he who trains the dog, seek this end. But the education and the teaching of youth aim at something, In this, then, is the value of the education and the teaching. And if this is well, thou wilt not seek anything else. Wilt thou not cease to value many other things too? Then thou wilt be neither free nor sufficient for thy own happiness, nor without passion. For of necessity thou must be envious, jealous, and suspicious of those who can take away those things, and plot against those who have that which is valued by thee. Of necessity, a man must be altogether in a state of perturbation, who wants any of these things, and besides, he must often find fault with the gods. But to reverence and honor thy own mind will make thee content with thyself, and in harmony with society, and in agreement with the gods, that is, praising all that they give and have ordered. Above, below, all around are the movements of the elements. But the motion of virtue is in none of these. It is something more divine, and advancing by a way hardly observed, it goes happily on its road. How strangely men act! They will not praise those who are living at the same time and living with themselves, but to be themselves praised by posterity, by those whom they have never seen, nor will ever see. This they set much value on. But this is very much the same as if thou shouldest be grieved, because those who have lived before thee did not praise thee. If a thing is difficult to be accomplished by thyself, do not think that it is impossible for man, but if anything is possible for man, and conformable to his nature, think that this can be attained by thyself too. In the gymnastic exercises, suppose that a man has torn thee with his nails, and by dashing against thy head has inflicted a wound. Well, we neither show any signs of vexation, nor are we offended, nor do we suspect him afterwards as a treacherous fellow. And yet we are on our guard against him, not, however, as an enemy, nor yet with suspicion, but we quietly get out of his way. Something like this, let thy behavior be in all the other parts of life. Let us overlook many things in those who are like antagonists in the gymnasium. For it is in our power, as I said, to get out of the way, and to have no suspicion or hatred. If man is able to convince me, and show me that I do not think or act right, I will gladly change. For I seek the truth, by which no man was ever injured. But he is injured who abides in his error and ignorance. I do my duty, other things trouble me not. For they are either things without life, or things without reason, or things that have rambled and know not the way. As to the animals, which have no reason, and generally all things and objects, do thou, since thou hast reason, and they have none, make use of them with a generous and liberal spirit. But towards human beings, as they have reason, behave in a social spirit, and in all things, and on all occasions, call on the gods, and do not perplex thyself about the length of time in which thou shalt do this, for even 3 hours so spent are sufficient. Alexander the Macedonian and his groom by death were brought to the same state, for either were they received among the same seminal principles of the universe, or they were alike dispersed among the atoms. Consider how many things in the same indivisible time take place in each of us, things which concern the body, and things which concern the soul. And so thou wilt not wonder if many more things, or rather all things, which come into existence in that which is the one and all, which we call the cosmos, exist in it at the same time. If any man should propose to thee the question, how the name Antoninus is written, wouldst thou, with a straining of the voice, utter each letter? What then, if they grow angry? Wilt thou be angry too? Wilt thou not go on with composure, and number every letter? Just so then, in this life, also remember that every duty is made up of certain parts. These it is thy duty to observe, and without being disturbed or showing anger towards those who are angry with thee, to go on thy way and finish that which is set before thee. How cruel it is not to allow men to strive after the things which appear to them to be suitable to their nature and profitable. And yet, in a manner, thou dost not allow them to do this, when thou art vexed, because they do wrong. For they are certainly moved towards things, because they suppose them to be suitable to their nature and profitable to them. But it is not so. Teach them, then, and show them without being angry. Death is a cessation of the impressions through the senses, and of the pulling of the strings which move the appetites, and of the discursive movements of the thoughts, and of the service to the flesh. It is a shame for the soul to be first to give way in this life, when thy body does not give way. Take care that thou art not made into a Caesar, that thou art not dyed with this dye, for such things happen. Keep thyself then simple, good, pure, serious, free from affectation, a friend of justice, a worshipper of the gods, kind, affectionate, strenuous in all proper acts. Strive to continue to be such as philosophy wished to make thee. Reverence the gods and help men. Short is life. There is only one fruit to this terrene life, a pious disposition and social acts. Do everything as a disciple of Antoninus. Remember his constancy in every act which was conformable to reason, and his evenness in all things, and his piety, and the serenity of his countenance, and his sweetness, and his disregard of empty fame, and his efforts to understand things, and how he would never let anything pass without having first most carefully examined it and clearly understood it, and how he bore with those who blamed him unjustly without blaming them in return, how he did nothing in a hurry, and how he listened not to calumnies, and how exact an examiner of manners and actions he was, and not given to reproach people, nor timid, nor suspicious, nor a sophist, and with how little he was satisfied, such as lodging, bed, dress, food, servants, and how laborious and patient, and how he was able, on account of his sparing diet, to hold out to the evening, not even requiring to relieve himself by any evacuations except at the usual hour, and his firmness and uniformity in his friendships, and how he tolerated freedom of speech in those who opposed his opinions, and the pleasure that he had when any man showed him anything better, and how religious he was without superstition. Imitate all this that thou mayest have as good a conscience when thy last hour comes, as he had. Return to thy sober senses, and call thyself back, and when thou hast roused himself from sleep, and hast perceived that they were only dreams which troubled thee, now in thy waking hours, look at these, the things about thee, as thou didst look at those, the dreams. I consist of a little body and a soul. Now to this little body all things are indifferent, for it is not able to perceive differences, but to the understanding those things are only indifferent, which are not the works of its own activity. But whatever things are the works of its own activity, all these are in its power, and of these, however, only those which are done with reference to the present. For as to the future and the past activities of the mind, even these are for the present indifferent. Neither the labor which the hand does, nor that of the foot is contrary to nature, so long as the foot does the foot's work, and the hand the hand's. So then, neither to a man, as a man in his labor contrary to nature, so long as it does the things of a man, but if the labor is not contrary to his nature, neither is it an evil to him. How many pleasures have been enjoyed by robbers, patricides, tyrants? Dost thou not see how the handicrafts men accommodate themselves up to a certain point to those who are not skilled in their craft? Nevertheless, they cling to the reason, the principles of their art, and do not endure to depart from it. Is it not strange if the architect and the physician shall have more respect to the reason, the principles of their own arts, than man to his own reason, which is common to him and the gods? Asia, Europe, are corners of the universe. All the sea a drop in the universe. Athos, a little clod of the universe. All the present time is a point in eternity. All things are little, changeable, perishable. All things come from thence, from that universal ruling power, either directly proceeding or by way of sequence. And accordingly, the lion's gaping jaws, and that which is poisonous, and every harmful thing, as a thorn, as mud, are after products of the grand and beautiful. Do not then imagine that they are of another kind from that which thou dost venerate, but form a just opinion of the source of all. He who has seen present things has seen all, both everything which has taken place from all eternity, and everything which will be for a time without end, for all things are of one kin and of one form. Frequently consider the connection of all things in the universe, and their relation to one another, for in a manner all things are implicated with one another, and all in this way are friendly to one another. For one thing comes in order after another, and this is by virtue of the active movement and mutual conspiration and the unity of the substance. Adapt thyself to the things with which thy lot has been cast, and the men among whom thou hast received thy portion. Love them, but do it truly. Every instrument, tool, vessel, if it does that for which it has been made, is well, and yet he who made it is not there. But in the things which are held together by nature, there is within, and there abides in them, the power which made them. Wherefore the more is it fit to reverence this power, and to think that, if thou dost live and act according to its will, everything in thee is in conformity to intelligence. And thus also in the universe, the things which belong to it are in conformity to intelligence. Whatever of the things which are not within thy power, thou shalt suppose to be good for thee, or evil. It must of necessity be that, if such a bad thing befall thee, or the loss of such a good thing, thou wilt not blame the gods, and hate men too, those who are the cause of the misfortune, or the loss, or those who are suspected of being likely to be the cause. And indeed, we do much injustice, because we make a difference between these things, because we do not regard these things as indifferent. But if we judge only those things which are in our power to be good or bad, there remains no reason either for finding fault with God or standing in a hostile attitude to man. We are all working together to one end, some with knowledge and design, and others without knowing what they do, as men also when they are asleep, of whom it is Heraclitus, I think, who says that they are laborers and cooperators in the things which take place in the universe. But men cooperate after different fashions, and even those cooperate abundantly, who find fault with what happens, and those who try to oppose it and to hinder it, for the universe had need even of such men as these. It remains then for thee to understand among what kind of workmen thou placest thyself, for he who rules all things will certainly make a right use of thee, and he will receive thee among some part of the cooperators, and of those whose labors conduce to one end. But be not thou such a part as the mean and ridiculous verse in the play, which Chrysippus speaks of. Does the sun undertake to do the work of the rain? Or Aesculapius the work of a fruit-bearer, the earth? And how is it with respect to each of the stars? Are they not different, and yet they work together to the same end? If the gods have determined about me, and about the things which must happen to me, they have determined well, for it is not easy even to imagine a deity without forethought. And as to doing me harm, why should they have any desire towards that? For what advantage would result to them from this, or to the whole, which is the special object of their providence? But if they have not determined about me individually, they have certainly determined about the whole at least, and the things which happen by way of sequence in this general arrangement I ought to accept with pleasure and be content with them. But if they determine about nothing, which is wicked to believe, or if we do believe it, let us neither sacrifice nor pray nor swear by them, nor do anything else, which we do as if the gods were present and lived with us. But if, however, the gods determine about none of the things which concern us, I am able to determine about myself, and I can inquire about that which is useful, and that is useful to every man, which is conformable to his own constitution and nature. But my nature is rational and social, and my city and country, so far as I am Antoninus, is Rome. But so far as I am a man, it is the world. The things, then, which are useful to these cities are alone useful to me. Whatever happens to every man, this is for the interest of the universal. This might be sufficient. But further thou wilt observe this also as a general truth, if thou dost observe that whatever is profitable to any man is profitable also to other men. But let the word profitable be taken here in the common sense as said of things of the middle kind, neither good nor bad. As it happens to thee in the amphitheatre and such places, that the continual sight of the same things and the uniformity make the spectacle wearisome, so it is in the whole of life, for all things above, below, are the same, and from the same. How long, then? Think continually that all kinds of men, and all kinds of pursuits, and of all nations are dead, so that thy thoughts come down even to Philistion, and Phoebus, and Origanion. Now turn thy thoughts to the other kinds of men. To that place then we must remove, where there are so many great orators and so many noble philosophers, Heraclitus, Pythagoras, Socrates, so many heroes of former days, and so many generals after them, and tyrants. Besides these, Eudoxus, Hipparchus, Archimedes, and other men of acute natural talents, great minds, lovers of labor, versatile, confident, mockers even of the perishable and ephemeral life of man, as Menippus, and such as are like him. As to all these, consider that they have long been in the dust. What harm, then, is this to them? And what to those whose names are altogether unknown? One thing here is worth a great deal: to pass thy life in truth and justice, with a benevolent disposition, even to liars and unjust men. When thou wishest to delight thyself, think of the virtues of those who live with thee. For instance, the activity of one, and the modesty of another, and the liberality of a third, and some other good quality of a fourth. For nothing delights so much as the examples of the virtues, when they are exhibited in the morals of those who live with us, and present themselves in abundance, as far as is possible. Wherefore, we must keep them before us. Thou art not dissatisfied. I suppose because thou weighest only so many litrae and not 300. Be not dissatisfied, then, that thou must live only so many years and not more. For as thou art satisfied with the amount of substance which has been assigned to thee, so be content with the time. Let us try to persuade them, men, but act even against their will, when the principles of justice lead that way. If, however, any man, by using force, stands in thy way, betake thyself to contentment and tranquility, and at the same time employ the hindrance towards the exercise of some other virtue, and remember that thy attempt was with a reservation, conditionally, that thou didst not desire to do impossibilities. What then didst thou desire? Some such effort as this? But thou attainest thy object, if the things to which thou wast moved are not accomplished. He who loves fame considers another man's activity to be his own good, and he who loves pleasure his own sensations. But he who has understanding considers his own acts to be his own good. It is in our power to have no opinion about a thing, and not to be disturbed in our soul, for things themselves have no natural power to form our judgments. Accustom thyself to attend carefully to what is said by another, and as much as it is possible, be in the speaker's mind. That which is not good for the swarm, neither is it good for the bee. If sailors abused the helmsman, or the sick the doctor, would they listen to anybody else? Or how could the helmsman secure the safety of those in the ship, or the doctor the health of those whom he attends? How many together with whom I came into the world are already gone out of it? To the jaundiced, honey tastes bitter, and to those bitten by mad dogs, water causes fear, and to little children the ball is a fine thing. Why, then, am I angry? Dost thou think that a false opinion has less power than the bile in the jaundiced, or the poison in him who is bitten by a mad dog? No man will hinder thee from living according to the reason of thy own nature. Nothing will happen to thee contrary to the reason of the universal nature. What kind of people are those whom men wish to please, and for what objects, and by what kind of acts? How soon will time cover all things, and how many it has covered already? Book 7. What is badness? It is that which thou hast often seen, and on occasion of everything which happens, keep this in mind, that it is that which thou hast often seen. Everywhere up and down thou wilt find the same things, with which the old histories are filled, those of the Middle Ages and those of our own day, with which cities and houses are filled now. There is nothing new, all things are both familiar and short-lived. How can our principles become dead, unless the impressions or thoughts which correspond to them are extinguished? But it is in thy power continuously to fan these thoughts into a flame. I can have that opinion about anything which I ought to have. If I can, why am I disturbed? The things which are external to my mind have no relation at all to my mind. Let this be a state of thy effects, and thou standest erect. To recover thy life is in thy power. Look at things again as thou didst used to look at them. for in this consists the recovery of thy life. The idle business of show, plays on the stage, flocks of sheep, herds, exercises with spears, a bone cast to the little dogs, a bit of bread into fish ponds, laboring of ants and burden-carrying, running about of frightened little mice, puppets pulled by strings, all alike. It is thy duty, then in the midst of such things, to show good humor, and not a proud air. To understand, however, that every man is worth just so much as the things are worth about which he busies himself. In discourse, thou must attend to what is said, and in every movement thou must observe what is doing, and in the one thou shouldst see immediately to what end it refers, but in the other watch carefully what is the thing signified. Is my understanding sufficient for this or not? If it is sufficient, I use it for the work as an instrument given by the universal nature. But if it is not sufficient, then either I retire from the work and give way to him who is able to do better, unless there be some reason why I ought not to do so, or I do it as well as I can, taking to help me the man who, with the aid of my ruling principle, can do what is now fit and useful for the general good. For whatsoever, either by myself or with another, I can do, or to be directed to this only, to that which is useful and well-suited to society. How many, after being celebrated by fame, have been given up to oblivion? And how many who have celebrated the fame of others have long been dead? Be not ashamed to be helped, for it is thy business to do thy duty like a soldier in the assault on a town. How then, if being lame, thou canst not mount up on the battlements alone, but with the help of another, it is possible? Let not future things disturb thee, for thou wilt come to them, if it shall be necessary, having with thee the same reason which now thou usest for present things. All things are implicated with one another, and the bond is holy, and there is hardly anything unconnected with any other thing, for things have been coordinated, and they combine to form the same universe or order. For there is one universe made up of all things, and one God who pervades all things, and one substance, and one law, one common reason in all intelligent animals, and one truth, if indeed there is also one perfection for all animals, which are of the same stock, and participate in the reason. Every material soon disappears in the substance of the whole, and everything formal or causal is very soon taken back into the universal reason, and the memory of everything is very soon overwhelmed in time. To the rational animal, the same act is according to nature and according to reason. Be thou erect, or be made erect. Just as it is with the members in whose bodies which are united in one, so it is with rational beings which exist separate, for they have been constituted for one cooperation. And the perception of this will be more apparent to thee if thou often sayest to thyself that I am a member of the system of rational beings. But if, using the letter R, thou sayest that thou art apart, thou dost not yet love men, from thy heart beneficence does not yet delight thee for its own sake. Thou still dost it barely as a thing of propriety, and not yet as doing good to thyself. Let there fall externally what will on the parts which can feel the effects of this fall. For those parts which have felt will complain, if they choose. But I, unless I think that what has happened is an evil, am not injured, and it is in my power not to think so. Whatever anyone does or says, I must be good, just as if the gold or the emerald or the purple were always saying this: whatever anyone does or says, I must be emerald and keep my color. The ruling faculty does not disturb itself. I mean, does not frighten itself or cause itself pain. But if anyone else can frighten or pain it, let him do so. For the faculty itself will not, by its own opinion, turn itself into such ways. Let the body itself take care, if it can, that it suffer nothing, and let it speak if it suffers. But the soul itself, that which is subject to fear, to pain, which has completely the power of forming an opinion about these things, will suffer nothing, for it will never deviate into such a judgment. The leading principle in itself wants nothing, unless it makes a want for itself, and therefore it is both free from perturbation and unimpeded, if it does not disturb and impede itself. Eudaimonia, happiness, is a good demon or a good thing. What then art thou doing here, O imagination? Go away, I entreat thee by the gods, as thou didst come, for I want thee not. But thou art come according to thy old fashion. I am not angry with thee, only go away. Is any man afraid of change? Why? What can take place without change? What then is more pleasing or more suitable to the universal nature? And canst thou take a bath, unless the wood undergoes a change? And canst thou be nourished, unless the food undergoes a change? And can anything else that is useful be accomplished without change? Dost thou not see, then, that for thyself also to change is just the same, and equally necessary for the universal nature? Through the universal substance, as through a furious torrent, all bodies are carried, being by their nature united with and cooperating with the whole, as the parts of our body with one another. How many a Chrysippus, how many a Socrates, and how many an Epictetus has time already swallowed up? And let the same thought occur to thee with reference to every man and thing. One thing only troubles me, lest I should do something which the constitution of man does not allow, or in the way which it does not allow, or what it does not allow now. Near is thy forgetfulness of all things, and near the forgetfulness of thee by all. It is peculiar to man to love even those who do wrong, and this happens, if, when they do wrong, it occurs to thee that they are kinsmen, and that they do wrong through ignorance and unintentionally, and that soon both of you will die, and above all, that the wrongdoer has done thee no harm, for he has not made thy ruling faculty worse than it was before. The universal nature out of the universal substance, as if it were wax, now molds a horse, and when it has broken this up, it uses the material for a tree, then for a man, then for something else, and each of these things subsists for a very short time. But it is no hardship for the vessel to be broken up, just as there was none in its being fastened together. A scowling look is altogether unnatural when it is often assumed. The result is that all comeliness dies away, and at last is so completely extinguished that it cannot be again lighted up at all. Try to conclude from this very fact that it is contrary to reason. For even if the perception of doing wrong shall depart, what reason is there for living any longer? Nature, which governs the whole, will soon change all things thou seest, and out of their substance will make other things, and again other things from the substance of them, in order that the world may be ever new. When a man has done thee any wrong, immediately consider with what opinion about good or evil he has done wrong. For when thou hast seen this, thou wilt pity him, and wilt neither wonder nor be angry. For either thou thyself thinkest the same thing to be good that he does, or another thing of the same kind. It is thy duty, then, to pardon him. But if thou dost not think such things to be good or evil, thou wilt more readily be well disposed to him who is in error. Think not so much of what thou hast not as of what thou hast, but of the things which thou hast select the best, and then reflect how eagerly they would have been sought if thou hadst them not. At the same time, however, take care that thou dost not, through being so pleased with them, accustom thyself to overvalue them, so as to be disturbed if ever thou shouldst not have them. Retire into thyself. The rational principle which rules has this nature, that it is content with itself when it does what is just, and so secures tranquility. Wipe out the imagination, stop the pulling of the strings, confine thyself to the present. Understand well what happens either to thee